Good morning and welcome to this All Age worship service here at Carey. All Age means this service should be a bit shorter than normal, and also that actually there won't be any children's groups this morning, although there will be people on hand to help with the little ones if need be. But we'll stay and worship together. Hopefully the service will be a bit more creative and interactive, and also there's no long sermon. That's good news, I hear some of you say. Okay, right, so... But yes, I wanted to give a special welcome to all the first-time visitors with us here today. So it's wonderful to see you. So I hope you feel welcome here at Carey this morning. Let's take a few moments now to welcome our Zoomers on our screen. We recognise that not everyone can be here in person for all sorts of reasons, and we think it's good for us to continue to offer Zoom, the Zoom option, so more can join us from the comfort of their own homes on a Sunday morning. So we have Patton Norman there, Ruhama, Rita possibly Peter as well, but Bargia. Oh, Bargia's here, of course. Sorry, Tamsin, Joan. Jody's joining us from home. And I think, is that Mina? I'm not quite sure, actually, whether that's Mina, but... right, yes. Okay, brilliant. So welcome to you all. Good to see you. Hope you enjoy the service as well. Well, we're going to start our worship. We're going to open our worship by listening to a song by Resound Worship. And this is The Great Day of the Lord. Let's listen to this as our call to worship this morning.
In Christ we
In Christ, we hope the earth will be healed. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment when you draw close to us and remind us of your love for us and all creation. We thank you that every moment is filled with you, with your goodness. Amen. Kathleen is now going to bring us some notices.
For once, I've remembered glasses and notes all in one go. Right. It's our anniversary service next week. And just a reminder that it will include a celebration of the various cultures represented in our fellowship. So anyone who would like to celebrate their original culture and would like to teach us a Christian song in another language or share something from their original culture or church, please speak to Colin after this service today, because this is the deadline, isn't it?
Yeah, they can still talk to me during the week. A
letter was received from Den's Food Bank thanking us for all our donations of food over the last year. Now, please note that Colin now holds food bank vouchers to give to people in need. So do let Colin know if there is anyone that you know who might need this kind of emergency help. All the usual prayer groups, Bible studies, hymn cafe, church walks continue. So see the newsletter for contact details. A reminder, as usual, that it is at your own discretion whether to wear a mask or not. However, if you do not wear a mask, please be respectful of those around you and try to keep some distance, and all the other guidelines remain in place. Next week, as you will probably know, it's our anniversary service and communion. So for communion, you can either still bring your own piece of bread, or there will be the opportunity to be given a piece of the bread from the bread that Colin breaks. And it will be broken off for you and handed to you by the servers, so that there's only one person doing it. And we will be wearing disposable gloves. So there's that option for you. And there will again be refreshments today in the hall after the service. Back to you, Colin.
Thank you, Kathleen. Just one other thing to mention, unless anybody else has got any notices. I still have spaces in my car to go to a free showing of the film Thank You for the Rain, which is about the farmers of Uganda and their creative response to the climate emergency, amongst other things. But that's in Chesham this Tuesday night. And I've got still spaces in my car to go to take people to Chesham if you'd like to go and see that free film. Thank you. We're going to take up our offering now. I'm not going to actually pass it around, but we'll bring the offering forward and we'll give thanks to the Lord now, actually. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your generosity to us, for the way you are always giving good gifts to us. Help us to be generous to each other and to you and to all creation. So we bring this offering as part of our giving, part of our thanksgiving to you, the Lord of all life. Amen. And now, a member of our youth church, Jeremiah, is going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 4.
Okay. Jesus began his work in Galilee. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about him spread throughout all that territory. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up and read to the scriptures, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him, as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeremiah. Jesus preaching at his home synagogue in Nazareth. Let's sing now. Open this book in response to that reading. Open this book that we can hear God himself. This is 103 in Baptist Praise and Worship, but the words will be up on your screen here. Open this book. Please be seated. Now then, you might have spotted this or not, but I've just found this treasure chest buried for a long time. Chris and I actually turned this chest into our family memories chest. So there are lots of treasures from when our two girls were very young. But today it's got a different kind of treasure in here. And we're going to reveal what's in here in a moment. But first of all, to make the point that this is a momentous moment, we're going to sound this gong here. So anybody want to volunteer to come forward to sound the gong? Okay, well done, Adam. Okay, why not? Some of you may remember the films sometimes had this guy, really muscly guy with lots of muscles, banging a gong just before these. We're not going to ask Adam to take your top off, but perhaps you just got it. Give it a good whack. Yeah, add again. Right. Excellent. Right. Wonderful. Okay. Hopefully, just builds the tension a bit. That's right. Yes, the sense of expectation. So here we are. So who's going to come and open the chest for us? Who's going to come and open the treasure chest? Okay, Pauline, okay. Now, I promise there's no creepy crawlers in here, no nasty surprises, okay? It's, you know, but you have to open it from this side and see what's in here. Very disappointed. No, come on, bring it out though. Yep. Doesn't look much, does it? But, It is a scroll, yes, well spotted. Yep. It's okay, don't worry. I can read that if you like in a moment. But we're actually gonna parade this up and down a bit, actually, because just to show it off to people. Okay, so if you'd like to take that around, we'll take it up together. This is just to remind us how the Jewish communities of old and also still today have their scriptures. So the South Bucks Jewish community, which we used to have a link with my previous church in Chesham, they had these scrolls in their Ark of the Covenant, which they would only open on special occasions, and they would then parade the scrolls up and down Now, I know you can't get very excited about a roll of wallpaper, a bargain bucket roll of wallpaper for B&Q, actually, but this would have been a really exciting moment for every Jewish community, because this is their history, this is their identity, this is their heartbeat, this is their lifeblood. Okay, so they would have made a big show of breaking out these scrolls out of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, if you want to take it around the other side, Pauline, that's wonderful. And bring it back, and perhaps I'll read out that bit anyway in a minute. But okay, so so that's our great treasure that we're kind of showing off and parading around. And make sure you handle it quite carefully, because it could all fall apart actually in your hands, actually, Pauline. But it's a bit Heath Robinson, but yeah. As we saw, it's not actually like the town crier scrolls that way, but this way. And actually, they can be very, very long. So actually, it takes a long time to kind of get to the right spot. The other thing to bear in mind, of course, is that actually Hebrew scriptures were written from right to left, not left to right. It's a good reminder of us as well, that actually, we kind of take books for granted. We talk about open this book, but actually Jesus didn't read from a book. He read from scrolls. And that's chapter in Luke 4 is just about the only time in the New Testament when you get an insight into that truth. But actually, so, we ought to give thanks for the fact that God's word, scriptures are much more available to us today than there would have been in the time of Jesus, because they would have been kept by temples and, synagogues and palaces or whatever. Okay. Thank you, Pauline. Right. I shall read this bit anyway. Right, there you go. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. God has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thanks be to God for his word. Okay, and we're going to sing now. Sing a song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. So as we read God's word, we're asking God to open our eyes, aren't we? Open our ears, open our hearts. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. The eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you. So my talk today is entitled, Just Imagine. Jesus goes to the synagogue, as usual. Sounds normal, like every other Sabbath. Nothing much to see here, just another ordinary day. Do you think? Well, think again. To Luke, who wrote this story, what happened at Nazareth that day, this was dynamite. Dynamite. Jesus is handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he chooses a particular passage he wants to speak about, and he begins to read. But hang on for a minute just there. Hold on a moment. How did Jesus learn to read and write? This would not have been normal for someone from an ordinary family like his. Jesus had certainly learned to read by the time he first visited the temple when he was 12 or 13. So it's just possible that Jesus first learned to read from these very scrolls, that perhaps a progressive rabbi in Nazareth had spotted his potential and committed to teaching him. See, it's unlikely that either Joseph or Mary could read. Not impossible, but they probably had no access to any scrolls or parchments to read from. Keeping scrolls, as I said, was for synagogues, temples, and posh palaces. So we know that these scrolls were precious to Jesus. Perhaps these particular scrolls were also very familiar to him. And he chooses to read Isaiah 61 about someone being equipped and sent by God's Spirit. Sent to do what? To preach the good news to those not familiar with good news, to those longing to hear good news for a change. And he finished his reading halfway through a verse. Jesus prefers talking about the year of the Lord's favor to talking about the day of vengeance. God's favor is more lasting than God's judgment. His audience recognized that by this one simple choice, Jesus has spoken gracious words. But then this, Jesus sits down and pronounces to all these people who have known him since a young child, to all these familiar faces, to people who know him as possibly the son of a carpenter. Perhaps some of them have wondered why Joseph didn't do a paternity test. Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Some of them can't believe they heard him right. To their ears, it sounds all wrong. An incredibly arrogant thing to say, if not downright blasphemous, or wonderfully true indeed. Jesus was staking a claim to something written 600 years before. Jesus was saying that this prophecy was speaking about his own mission and ministry. This, combined with the fact that he was from the wrong side of town, is what caused the initial offense to the good people of Nazareth. Oh, yes. And don't forget their disappointment that Jesus didn't immediately do the miracles they knew he was doing in other neighboring towns. Jesus' claims involved a leap of faith, a springboard of the imagination. No less than what is written here is about me. That is this. These ancient words, true today. But more than that, true about me. Sadly, the people of Nazareth found they could not make this leap of faith, that leap of imagination with Jesus. They still see the lad at the carpenter's bench. So they refuse to rejoice with Jesus. They refuse to believe that Jesus will indeed be good news to the oppressed of their land. Good news for them too. Jesus invites us today to make a leap of faith, a leap of imagination. Just imagine that the God who created this universe sent his own son to live among us and die for all creation. What kind of love is this? Have we yet fully taken on board just how good this good news is for us and for all the world? Or is some part of us still dubious about all this? Some part of us that thinks this good news is just good, too good to be true, or that somehow it might be true for others, but it's not true for me. This week, I started to help lead a CAP life skills course, that's Christians Against Poverty, a life skills course. So I was spending some time with a group of people like the ones Jesus talks about here. Poor, brokenhearted, previously held captive by addictions, imprisoned in darkness, needing desperately to hear good news, ashamed about their past lives, wanting to make a new start and live differently. Just imagine them really knowing that God loves them. Just imagine if this year was the year of God's favor for them, instead of the judgment of others that they have become used to. And that's the whole point of Carey, isn't it? The whole point of every church. It's to love people, to act out the good news, to show them, to show people God's favor. Today, in what looks like the end of the worst of COVID, we hope, we need to do more than go back to the new normal. Jesus always moved beyond a normal day. For Jesus, every day was a day filled with love. For Jesus, every day started and ended with the love of his Heavenly Father. Even as he agonized in prayer at Gethsemane, even as he died in agony on the cross, every moment was defined by God's love for all creation. Well, how about us? What about your today? Thanks be to God for the good news of Jesus, which is for us and all creation. Amen. We're going to give thanks to God now as we sing a couple of songs. The first is in response to the good news of Jesus. I will offer up my life. This is our way of responding and giving ourselves to the Lord, because he has already given himself to us and to our world. I will offer up my life, and then we'll celebrate the wonderful truth that Jesus is the King of love.
I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart. You deserve my every breath, for you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death, even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, there defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
The King of Love.
Is my delight, his eyes are fire, his face is light, the first and last, the living one, His name is Jesus. And from his mouth there comes a sound that shakes the earth and splits the ground. And yet this voice is life to me, the voice of Jesus. And I will sing my songs of love, calling out across the earth, the King has come, the King of love has come. And troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come. Lover's breath is sweetest wine, I am his prize and he is mine. How can a sinner know such joy because of Jesus? The wounds of love are in his hands, the price is paid for sinful man. Accepted child, forgiven son, because of Jesus. Songs of love, calling out across the earth, the King has come, the King of love has come. Troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come. And my desire is to have you near, Lord, you know that you are welcome here. Before such love, before such grace, I will let the walls come down. Sing the songs of love, calling out across the earth, the King has come, the King of love has come. And troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come. Calling out across the earth, the King has come, the King of love has come. Troubled minds can know his peace, captive hearts can be released. The King has come, the King of love has come.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The King of love has come. Now I'm going to lead us in some prayers in a moment, and I'm going to take out a couple of these prayer cards from our prayer basket left by the proctors last week. I'll read those out in a minute, but I'd like to start our prayers by thinking about a mission of love which is happening today. Groups of young people, young Christians, have been taking part in a very long pilgrimage. They've been walking the length of the UK in relays. They started in Cornwall earlier this year, and they passed through Hemel Hempstead in August, and now they've reached beyond Newcastle and soon be over the border into Scotland. So here's one or two photos, hopefully, of what they've been up to, some of the things they've been up to. This is them in Newcastle Cathedral at a service of thanksgiving, Our Father of God. Okay, and then there's another photo. I think this is, yes, this is in Wide Open, would you believe? If you know Wide Open at all, just beyond Newcastle. This is just outside a church in Wide Open. And this is, oh, that's right. And that's them meeting with an MP inside the church, their local MP. And they have a number of demands that they're actually asking people to send the, you can see the demands there actually, but on their banner. Demands really to make sure that the wealthier countries of the world are actually making sure that the poorer countries who are going to get affected by climate change sooner than us actually gets the help they need. Now, that's one of the things that they're going to be talking about at COP26, and this is what this pilgrimage is all about, because they're actually walking the length of the country and they'll end up in Glasgow. They'll be in Edinburgh soon, and then they'll be crossing Scotland to get to Edinburgh to COP26. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young people. We thank you that they've set aside time from their lives, they put their bodies on the line to walk to Glasgow and to challenge our leaders to do more to combat climate change and to help the poorer countries in our world. So Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are currently planning this conference, those preparing to travel to the conference, and we pray for important breakthroughs to be made during these days in Glasgow, that our leaders will grasp the nettle of the changes we all need to make to protect God's creation and each other. And Heavenly Father, we also pray for Bangladesh. Pray for the preschool project as classrooms reopen after 18 months of closure. This is in Bangladesh. Pray for the children and teachers there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of Louise Proctor, who did so much in traveling across that country, Bangladesh, to help to open and support existing preschools. And Lord, we do pray for Esther, who has been tasked with the job of continuing that work, of working with preschools across Bangladesh. Lord, we pray for these children and the leaders and teachers involved in those preschool projects. And we remember as well in our prayers this morning, Afghanistan. We pray for the people of Afghanistan, for the leaders there facing very, very challenging circumstances. Those who perhaps are Christians in that country and having to meet in secret. We pray for the people of Afghanistan. We pray for Hemel Hempstead. We thank you for our town. And we pray for each other as well. And in the quiet, we now bring to you people who need the assurance of your love. So Lord, we bring these people before you in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to bring good news. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering that good news to us this day and every day. Amen. And we close now with our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but nothing except what thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Be thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my whole armor, be thou my true might. Be thou my sole shelter, be thou my strong tower. Raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Be thou my true riches, not man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance, now and always. Be thou and thou only, the first in my heart. O sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. My king of heaven, thou heaven's bright sun, O grant me its joys after victory is won. Great. whatever befall, still be thou my vision, O ruler of all.
Just want to say thank you for coming this morning and taking part in our worship. Our thanks also to those who've led our singing. So thanks to Robert and Aki and Clifford and Colin. So bless you all. And now it's because I've got a sustaining blessing. This is from a heart for creation, this Iona book. May the earth sustain your strength. May Christ sustain your love. May you sustain one another's joy. And may you live as a blessing to God, to the earth, and to all humanity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.